First Brexit and now US tariffs. British companies take stock of how to navigate an increasingly complex web of global politics. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. The pound sterling is drifting lower ahead of a key Brexit vote in the UK Parliament tomorrow. As we broke on this show, a fresh deal was agreed between the EU and UK on Thursday, but there are still multiple political groups that UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has to convince at home. The BBC's Nick Eardley explains.
Officially, every opposition party opposes the plan and will instruct their MPs to vote against it. So Mr Johnson is likely to focus his attention on three key groups. Tory Brexiteers who have not backed a deal so far, the former Conservatives who lost the whip and want to avoid no deal, and Labour MPs from Leave voting constituencies who want to see Brexit delivered.
If the Prime Minister's plans are rejected, he's then required by law to ask the EU for an extension until 31st January 2020. But there is a possibility the UK government could push for a general election to avoid asking for another Brexit delay. Now let's move now to trade, because starting today, the US will impose more than $7 billion worth of import taxes on a range of goods from the EU. It's in retaliation for illegal government subsidies to the European aircraft maker Airbus, which also happens to be Boeing's arch rival. The BBC has been hearing from some of the British firms affected.
Single malt exports from Scotland to the US worth more than $1.3 billion will be hit with a 25% tariff. Patricia Dillon runs a Scottish distillery that sends 60,000 bottles of Spey single malt to the US every year. She has been talking to US importers to grow that number, but those plans are now under review.
We feel as though we've been dragged into a trade war, which has nothing to do with us whatsoever. And because of the 25% tariffs that have been implemented in the US, this is something we can't possibly absorb into our business. So what we have to do is reconsider the market in the US.
It is not just whisky makers under pressure. Cashmere made in Scotland will also get hit. And that puts the firm Johnston's of Elgin at a big disadvantage.
In the very short term, we're going to have to absorb these costs because we can't expect people to pay more for products they've already ordered.
Its chief executive, Simon Cotton, said the tariffs would limit its future growth plans.
In the longer term, this is going to hit consumers in the US, and that is going to mean that their cashmere is going to become more expensive. That in turn means that we will be able to export less, grow less, and we'll have to downscale our plans.
There is a sense of confusion, even dismay, among many Scottish businesses that they are being dragged into a damaging trade war that they didn't start. And many are asking, if this is the way the US treats us now, what makes us think that there will be any special treatment over trade when we are outside the EU? Michael Froman, the former US trade chief, spoke exclusively to the BBC. He claims the UK isn't being targeted unfairly.
There'll be tariffs put on French products and German products and other products as well. But just because we have a special relationship doesn't mean that we're willing to sacrifice our economic interests in the context of a trade dispute or a trade negotiation. And that, by the way, applies to whatever future trade agreement might be negotiated between the US and the UK as well.
Whisky tariffs were raised on a call with Donald Trump, with the Prime Minister Boris Johnson urging him to rethink. Meanwhile, the UK government told the BBC that securing a trade deal with the US is one of its highest priorities. What this shows is that in the ebb and flow of trade, nothing is simple. In London, I'm the BBC's Lawrence Knight for Marketplace.
Violent demonstrations have broken out in Lebanon over the government's plan to tax voice calls made on Facebook's WhatsApp and other internet-based messaging services. Protesters are also angry over the state of the economy, as the BBC's Ivana Davidovich reports.
Demonstrators blocked roads in the Lebanese capital Beirut with parked vans and burning tyres as security forces fired tear gas to disperse some of the largest crowds seen in years. Dozens of people were wounded. The government quickly backtracked on its plans for 20-cent daily tax on WhatsApp voice calls. It has also declared a state of economic emergency. But for some locals, angry over years of alleged corruption, it's too little, too late. The small Arab country has the third largest debt level in the world. Poor infrastructure, daily electricity cuts, uncollected garbage, and the rising cost of living is adding to the anger. And some protesters claim they will stay on the streets until the government resigns. I'm the BBC's Ivana Davidovich for Marketplace.
Now, China's economy grew at its slowest pace in nearly 30 years. The third quarter data reflects more of the damage caused by its trade war with America and affirms the view that double-digit growth is now a thing of the past. The BBC's China correspondent Robin Brand has more.
The slowdown continues, and it will be felt far beyond China's borders. 6% is at the very bottom end of the government's forecast for this year, a forecast that almost miraculously always seems to come to pass. China's economy is maturing, but what's worrying is that it appears to be slowing down at a quicker pace than expected and desired. Now, the trade war with the US, combined with a domestic credit crackdown last year, has made for less confidence here in an unstable economic environment. The government is bringing forward some plans for local government spending on infrastructure, a familiar stimulus measure. But there were big tax cuts earlier this year, and that's already demonstrated that measures to try to encourage spending don't always work. In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Robin Brandt for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia and Europe fell following that weak GDP data from China. In the currency markets, the lira strengthened against the dollar after Turkey and the US agreed to a temporary ceasefire in Syria. And WTI crude is trading around $54 per barrel amid reports oil giant Saudi Aramco is delaying its share sale just days before the expected launch. Saudi Aramco accounts for 10% of the world's crude oil and is seeking a whopping $2 trillion valuation. And finally, who needs to flip houses when you can flip footwear? Chinese investors and sneaker fans have seen returns of up to 6,000% by selling their popular trainers online. So take a closer look at your high tops because those limited editions could be worth their weight in gold. In London, I'm Lisha Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.